Welcome to The Pulpit, the sermon podcast of Calvary Moravian Church. My name is Pastor Chaz Snyder, and I hope you'll use this recording to grow deeper in God's Word and help you on your spiritual journey.
Our epistle lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Holy God, you have promised us that our day of salvation is near. So may we be faithful. Keep us faithful in love. Keep us watchful in prayer, so that we may stand with confidence and joy at the coming of Christ, our Redeemer and our Lord. God, you call us to goodness, and you lead us on right paths. You encourage us with the signs of your coming, and you urge us to keep watch, so that we may greet you with heads raised when you come to restore all of creation. So in this watching and waiting, we pray for this world, the world that needs your saving power. God, we pray for nations at war. We pray for all of those who suffer from violence, for all of those who live in worry or fear, for those who have forgotten the ways of righteousness. We pray for those who need to hear the story of your rescuing love. And we pray for those who the light of hope seems dim. God, fill them with your ever-present love and faithfulness. And God, we pray too for your church in the world, that we may increase, that we may increase in our love and care, and that we may work in confidence for your coming reign on earth. For God, the power of your Holy Spirit is with us, drawing us into faithfulness. So God, may we greet you in confidence and joy on that great day. For you are God of our salvation. Send your wisdom, your peace, and your joy with all of us. Be with us as we turn to your word to speak again anew and each and every day. Lead us by the power of your Holy Spirit into your deeper truth. Teach us to do your will for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we are here. Today is the first week of Advent. We are fully in the season of Advent. Thanksgiving is behind us, even if we might still be full from our meal on Thursday. Our church is decorated. We have prayed our first Advent liturgy. We've lit the Advent candle. We've sung Hosanna. Christmas is coming soon. But we aren't there yet. We still have to wait in anticipation. Advent is this in-between time. And it's not just this time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Advent is all about what was and what is to be, about what has already happened and what has yet to occur. It's a time of anticipation, of expectancy. It's a time to live the Christian journey with expectancy for what God is going to do. And at its core, this means that we live as residents of two worlds. We live in the here and the now, with all the joys and the sorrows, the victories and the setbacks. We love, we laugh, we get tired, we make mistakes, we rejoice. We grieve in this journey, this wonderful creation and recreation that God has given us. And we live with anticipation for a life and a time yet to come. So here we are, in between the coming of Christ and his coming again, living in the now with the hopeful expectancy that empowers us and sustains us. So today, as this first Sunday of Advent, we begin this time of intentional waiting and expectation. We begin a new church year, and today we consider the end of the Christian story in our gospel reading today. Our reading today invites us into this anticipation and expectancy by looking at the Christ coming again, his second coming. But not the kind of anticipation that the stores and the advertisers have been promoting since well before Halloween. It's a different kind of waiting and expectation. Today's reading even challenges us to expect more than Christ in the manger. We're called to the expectancy of the end of time, the end of my time, the end of your time, God's reign on earth. We're invited to anticipate the fulfillment of all that God has made and all that God has redeemed. So here we have this story from the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus speaks of chaos. This section of Jesus' speech that we read just a moment ago is from the temple in Jerusalem. And it's filled with these frightening images, these confusing metaphors, these different punishments. And here on the first Sunday of Advent, we don't encounter sort of sweet baby Jesus in the manger. But this first Sunday, we get the stern adult Jesus, picturing the whole universe being shaken and turned inside out. Which might seem a bit strange as a way to start talking about this Christmas season, this time leading up to Christmas. But I hope we can see why this text is really important to start our Advent journey. As we've mentioned, Advent is all about expectation and about preparation. But the season of Advent, it demands a very different kind of preparation than the one that shopping malls and Cyber Monday deals call us to. This passage in Luke sets a very different tone than the one that we often get in the cultural Christmas season. It sets a very different tone, even ones that we don't often hear in church. As I think about this text from the Gospel of Luke, sometimes I think something that I think captures this spirit and tone of this text is Vincent van Gogh's famous painting, The Starry Night. Maybe you're familiar with it. Can you maybe picture it in your head? I wish I could show it to you. If you have a phone with you, maybe you can pull it up and look at it. This is the only time you have permission to pull your phone out during a sermon. But I encourage you to look at it. This painting exhibits the bold colors that Van Gogh is known for. It's very much in the style that he helped to make famous. Van Gogh was actually the son of a Dutch pastor, and for a time was an evangelist to the poor himself. So there's a good chance he might be familiar with this text from Luke 21. And this painting seems to depict an apocalyptic sky, like maybe the one depicted by Jesus. There's swirling clouds in bold yellow and white on the backdrop of a deep, dark blue and black sky. There's a bold and bright yellow moon, very bright stars, described by one art critic as rockets of burning yellow. In the background is a small town with a church steeple as its most prominent feature. And in the foreground, a foreboding flame-like image that connects the earth and sky together. Some art historians think this is a cypress tree, which in Van Gogh's time would have been connected with graveyards and mourning. So this famous picture elicits different reactions from those who admire it. Some see it as this daunting image of a frightening sky. Others see it as something bold and beautiful, like a glimpse of God. And like Van Gogh's painting, Luke's apocalypse elicits different reactions from those who admire it. Frightening, bold, and beautiful glimpses of God. That is what Jesus offers us on this first Sunday of Advent. As difficult as it is to hear, as troubled as this text might sound like to listeners, in it are treasures that help us focus on the true meaning and the true purpose of this Advent season. In it, Jesus challenges us, as he did those original hearers in Jerusalem's temple. Jesus challenges us to look up, to pay attention, and to be ready. Advent means coming or arrival. And this apocalyptic text from Luke reminds us that Advent involves us to prepare for two different arrivals. God's coming to earth in the infant Jesus, who we wait for this Christmas season. And it calls us to anticipate Christ's return to earth at that time that none of us know. Jesus wants us to be ready. And we do so, as Jesus says, by keeping alert, by constantly preparing, and most importantly, by continuing to put our hope in the living and loving God who comes to us in Christ Jesus. We shouldn't resist thinking Luke's painting the apocalypse as only fearful. Despite some frightening images and phrases, this text offers not fear and damnation, but hope an expectation. Because God in Christ is coming. Because God loves us. Because God wants to redeem us, to redeem creation. God wants to be with us, Emmanuel, like we sing this morning. As verse 28 says, "Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." See, our redemption points us. Our redemption points us in the direction of the manger. And ultimately, our redemption points us to the cross. Our redemption points us to the love that God has for us, a love so deep that God came to us in the person of Christ. And in the midst of those fearful words that Jesus seems to say in Luke, he says, "Stand up. Raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." We may not live on the margins of society or in a community riddled with disease, drought, and despair like those original hearers of Luke's gospel would have. But we can also find hope in this apocalyptic writing, because it's about a better world. It's about a world that can break forth at any time. It's about the beautiful emerging in the midst of wherever we are in life, because we can find hope in God and God alone. Our world is still full of things that are similar to what Luke's community would have experienced. Drought, war, disease, destruction, these things are not gone in our world. Greed, addiction, misplaced priorities, the list could go on. But in this text, Christ calls us to be alert, to constantly pray for God's kingdom to break forth in the midst of this world. That is what the call of Advent is. That's what the call of Advent always has been. That our broken and hurting selves, that our hurting world needs Christ. It needed Christ in that first Christmas, and it's needed it every one since. It still needs Christ to be present in the world. And that is what we prepare for in Advent. That's the reality that we make true by our actions, that Christ is here with us, and that Advent reminds us of God's presence, of God's care, of God's love, and we must take this Advent season to prepare to receive him, to open our hearts, to open our lives, to help our actions and our care to reflect the Christ that is present and real. The good news of Advent is not simply that Christ is coming, but that this coming means that we can have hope right now. Just as the leaves on the fig tree offer hope in late winter that summer is coming again, so God's word in the person of Jesus promises us new life. Advent offers us expectation and hope for something new. Stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Be alert at all times. So this Advent, I challenge us all to look carefully at the coming kingdom of new life that is all around us. May we welcome this Advent season, a season to celebrate the new signs of life bursting forth all around us. May Advent help us to resist the temptation to run from this world in fear and abandonment. Let us remember that Christ will return because Christ is with us now still. But as we wait, we can look for the signs of peace, of meaningful community, of hope, of mutual care. And let us not forget the promise of fulfillment that Jesus gives us at his return. So may we leave today with a commitment to use the Advent season to prepare for God's kingdom breaking forth around us. As we wait for this radical, earth-shattering welcome of the Prince of Peace, both as a little baby and as the risen Lord. Let us pray. God, we thank you for coming into our world, for bursting forth in that first Advent, and bursting forth here and now in our midst. So God, continue to remind us of your deep love and care, and of your ever-abiding presence with us. In the name of Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.